Have you ever had a song that just takes you back to a certain place and time of your life? Friends of mine say, you know, they heard this Nirvana song one time and it was just pivotal. Or someone told me the other day, a Taylor Swift song takes them back to a specific moment of their life. For people talk about going to a concert or sitting at in a coffee shop listening to music, and that music is stuck with them from that day forward. For me, one of the more defining songs in my life was that song he just sang, Oh Very Young, by Cat Stevens from an album called Buddha in the Chocolate Box. When I was a kid, I used to spend a weekend with my aunt. She lived in Winnipeg on 99 Ruby Street. I'm not sure why I remember that address, but I always remember that address. And this weird little two-story house that you get in Winnipeg. It's this hippie commune house. I don't know, there's stuff written on the walls everywhere. I don't know. But in the room that I stayed in were speakers, and the speakers were tied into a stereo system that was downstairs, and every morning she would wake me up with that album, and she'd play that song. So I have a soft place in my heart for Cat Stevens. Which is why I was shocked when suddenly the news was all a buzz many years ago that Cat Stevens was no more. Cat Stevens is actually the stage name of Stephen Dimitri Giorgio. His mom was Swedish, his dad was Greek, and he lived in a poor area of London. And right from the beginning, his brother said, man, he had a drive for something. His brothers maybe not nicely said, he wanted to be famous. But for whatever reason, he had a drive to do something more, and he poured all of that into writing and playing music. He was hustling in bars and in coffee shops. He finally got a producer to sit down and listen to him. And he played him one of his songs, and the guy just was blown away. That was incredible. He says, what's your name, or what do you call yourself? He goes, I don't know, Cat Stevens? He says, why do you call yourself that? He says, my girlfriend thinks my eyes look like cat's eyes. And Cat Stevens was born. He started playing little gigs and putting out albums, but he had this, you know, that folk artist storytelling ability. But he still had a style of music that was completely accessible. And he went very quickly, within years, from being this little coffee shop guy to filling stadiums. Just him and his guitar, just ripping it up. He had songs like Moonshadow. The first cut is the deepest. Probably one of the most covered songs in history, right? Oh, Very Young. A song that woke me up every day when I stayed at my aunt's house. So how does a guy, Cat Stevens, go from one of the biggest artists of his era, of his time? Like he was the Justin Bieber of his era. To gone. One day he's there, bigger than ever. Next day, he's gone. Where did he go? Took me a while to find out, because this was before the internet. What did you do before the internet? Just ask random people, does anyone know what happened to Cat Stevens? No. But I found out that Cat Stevens wasn't dead like I thought. Cat Stevens has changed his name to Yusuf Islam. It's an Arabic pronunciation of the word, or the name Jesus, or Joseph. And Yusuf started off as one of their, well, at this point, Cat Stevens, who was one of the biggest names in history, or in his era, suddenly changed his name and called himself by an Arabic pronunciation of an obscure biblical name. Why? I don't think it was a marketing stunt. This isn't, you know, Prince, who became the symbol, remember that? We all had to call him the artist formerly known as Prince. What's up with that? Or Lady Gaga is now Gaga, and then she became Lady Gaga again. Does anyone know, does anyone care about Lady Gaga? Do we know what we call her now? Right? Marketing stunts. He didn't need that. He was huge. He had so much money. He was in his early 20s. And he said to his manager, he said, if this next album does really well, I'll buy you a Rolls Royce. Not a cheap automobile, right? So imagine shaggy hair, you know, 20-year-old pop singer walks into a Rolls-Royce dealership. You know, the snooty guy in the tie is like, can I help you? guy's like, yeah, I'll take that car and I'll pay cash right now. He had a lot of money. And the name change wasn't because, it didn't seem to be because, it just didn't have that same flavor that name changes have now. For him, it seemed like something had changed for him. So my question is, why did he do it? In interviews, Cat Stevens, who is now Yusuf Islam, said there was a feeling that all was not right in the world. He said, I look around, and it just feels like, I can't put a finger on it, but there's just something missing. And you can hear it from the lyrics. At the end of the Cat Stevens era, he wrote one of the songs, Wild World. Can you remember the song? The song is written by kind of a conversation. Someone leaves, and the person's saying back, but if you want to leave, take good care. I hope you have a lot of nice things to wear. But then a lot of nice things turn bad out there. Oh, baby, it's a wild world. It's hard to get by just upon a smile. You know, I've seen a lot of what the world can do, and it's breaking my heart in two, because I never want to see you sad, girl. Don't be a bad girl. But if you want to leave, take good care. I hope you make a lot of nice friends out there. But remember, there's a lot of bad. And beware. There's this feeling inside of Cat Stevens that the world isn't quite as it should be. Or maybe it's his world isn't quite right. Something is missing. Something is antagonistic towards him, maybe. To his heart or to his soul or to who he is. And he can't really say what it is, so we just have this flavor in his music of kind of, there's us, and then there's this kind of world out there that's not, it's not safe, it's not good. He had all the opportunity. He could have whatever he wanted. He paid cash for a Rolls Royce for someone else as a gift. He had fame. As much fame as anyone could want. He could do whatever he wanted. But something was missing. When he wrote the album that woke me up every morning at my aunt's, Buddha in the Chocolate Box, he was on a plane and he carried around a Buddha statue with him because he was going, there's something more. And he had it sitting next to him on the plane, and the person next to him had a box of chocolates sitting on the armrest. And he was like, oh, well, that would make a good name for an album. And we have Buddha in the Chocolate Box. Only a few years later did he figure out what he was looking for. Something that would push him to become the man he wanted to be. Something that would make him feel whole again. He'd live in a new way. He'd renounce his name. He'd renounce singing. And everything would change for him. There's a song he sings, Hard-Headed Woman, and I always focused on that line. What does it mean? What's that hard-headed woman mean? But if you see it as a metaphor, I think we start to see why he did what he did. I know if I find my hard-headed woman, my life will be as it should. I kept focusing on hard-headed. What does it mean? What does a hard-headed woman mean? Can we even say that in our culture? Is that politically correct, or? But look past that for a moment. Look at it as a metaphor. If I find my hard-headed woman, my life will be as it should. I will be the best I can be. I will become who I was always meant to be. And you know what? I think he found his hard-headed woman in a peaceful interpretation of the religion Islam. Cat Stevens converted to Islam. And that belief changed everything. He stopped singing. He stopped using his voice that way. He gave up his career. He gave up his name. Isn't it incredible, the power of a belief? Isn't that incredible? I was listening to a podcast called Nancy. It was about the it's about LGBTQ issues. From now on, I'm just going to say queer, okay? Because the just does not roll off my tongue. So, it's about queer issues. It's a great podcast. My brother put me onto it. But this one was really, really hard to hear. I was listening to an interview from the shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, where a young man shot and killed 49 people from the queer community. 49. The story is horrific, but that's not the story I want to talk to you about today. I want to tell you a story a week later. It's a story about Christine Leonin, who's walking down the road to the church where she was going to attend the funeral of her son, Christopher. Christopher was a 32-year-old gay man who was shot in the Pulse nightclub shootings. Shot down in the prime of his life. And Christine walked down that road to bury her son. Shot down in the prime of his life. I remember my grandma saying when she lost her daughter, she said, "The mother should never have to bury her child." The story turns even darker still. You see, because on that route she had to walk to get to her son's funeral, there's a group of people called the Westboro Group. A group who had come to protest her son's funeral. To protest a funeral. Why, when there's that much grief and sadness in the world, would somebody think, what a great time to protest? Why does someone do that? The why? It's because Christopher was gay. And the Westboro Group is a group from a Baptist church who are ultra-fundamentalists. They're from Topeka, Kansas. And they drove 18 hours to come to protest the funeral of Christopher. It's just brutal, isn't it? Their beliefs that somehow God hates gay people had enough power to make them drive 18 hours and then just ignore all basic human dignity to yell hate speech at a funeral. The person was dead. He was shot down brutally. And they had signs that said, "God hates fags." They had signs that said, "God sent the shooter." I try not to be judgmental, but to me, this is so offside. To me, I don't rarely call things evil, but to me, that's evil. Famous philosopher named Christopher, this time it's Christopher Hitchens, says this. He's a famous atheist, but he says, "I'm not even an atheist so much as I'm an anti-theist. I not only maintain that all religions are a version of the same untruth, but I hold that the influences of churches and the effect of religious belief is positively harmful." You know what? When I see what the Westboro Baptist people did, I think I'm on Hitchens' side. Because if that's where belief takes you, if belief takes you to a moment of grief and suffering and then says, "I'm just going to yell and scream at you people when you're at your most vulnerable," I want none of that. But that's not the whole story. You see, there was another group driven by a different group or set of beliefs. Because 2 days before the funeral, the Westboro people had to apply for a permit so that they could protest. And somehow that permit application got leaked and another group of people formed as a group of Shakespearean actors. And they went into their props room and they went nuts. they built PVC frames that they could put over their shoulders with these big arms that stick out. And then they drape fabric off those arms. They look like angels, don't they? You know what they really are? Movable curtains. Because they had a belief too. They believed that everyone should be honored no matter their race, their orientation, their gender, how they identify, any of that. We respect people. That's what their belief was. Especially at a funeral. Especially at that funeral. So what they did, when Christine got ready to walk down that road, she would have had to face all those Westboro people. When she's grieving the loss of her son, she would have had to look at people screaming hate at her about her son. What the angels did is they came and they made a movable wall all around her. So she couldn't see anything. And all the friends and the family walked inside this mobile curtain tent moving room thing. They didn't have to see what was going on outside. They didn't have to see the hate and the vitriol. Isn't that incredible? Shows another power of belief. And when the voices of the Westboro people started to scream horrible obscenities at the mother and the friends and family, the crowd burst out into a version of Amazing Grace. Isn't that incredible? I think this is the part of belief that Hitchens is missing. Yes, our beliefs have incredible power. But the power is immoral, not immoral, amoral. It's neither good nor bad. It's just power. It has the power to change a man, Cat Stevens, into Yusuf Islam. It has the power to get people to drive 18 hours to completely ignore humanity and boycott a funeral. Has the power to make people build mobile angel wings to protect a family and show love to a group that hates. That's the power of belief. Some good, some evil, in my humble opinion. But the power, I believe, is incredible. Cat Stevens' famous song, Father and Son, where a father takes the time to share wisdom with his son. And I think that's where we find the final piece of the belief puzzle. If belief has power, but the belief, that power itself is amoral, means it's not focused good or bad. We need something to guide it, something to focus it. I think our spiritual ancestors knew a lot about this because they shared a story with us. Now, it's written in a genre that we don't have anymore. It's called apocalyptic. Our closest genre is, think like a fantasy novel, but with a really important point to it. So the symbols and the concepts in it are never meant to be taken literally. It's supposed to explain something to you. So let me read it to you. When he finally arrives blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort out people much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit me. And I was in prison and you came to me." And then those sheep were going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Then he'll turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and say, "Get out, you worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was homeless and you gave me no bed. I was shivering and you gave me no clothes. I was in prison and you never visited. Then those goats are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick? In prison. Didn't help you. And he'll answer them, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever he failed to do one of these things to someone who's being overlooked and ignored, that was me. He failed to do it to me. Then these goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. We're here because we're working with beliefs. We're working on our beliefs. We're working on one of the most powerful things in our lives. It can change our names. It can change. It'll cause us to drive 18 hours to do something horrible. It'll cause us to spend 2 days to protect the people from that horrible thing. But we need wisdom to focus those beliefs on exactly what our spiritual ancestors are talking about. On love. On love. This belief has the power to change everything, doesn't it? It can change the direction of your life. For me, I was going to be an engineer. I dodged, got out of that one, and I was like, okay, I'll be a professor. Whatever. I'm neither of those. Belief brought me here. It can change the biggest thing in your life. It can change the smallest thing. It'll change how you spend your money, how you spend your time, where you focus, what you do. It has the power to touch everything in our lives. Think about belief in the context of our hearts. Someone we love dies, and the belief that someday we'll see them again, doesn't that create an incredible feeling of peace? Whether or not it's true, who cares? Belief has the power to make us feel like I will get to see my loved one again. I'll get to see my mom again. Has the power to make us do the work that we've spent our entire lives avoiding. That deep work that we all need to do. Well, you guys don't need to do, but I need to do. Belief has the power to say, wait, I want more than this. I want relationships that are loving, and I know that's not where I am right now. And so belief will change everything in the work that we do in ourselves. Tom talked about mental toxins last week. There's no reason to work on our mental toxins except that belief says our lives will be better. At Friend Church, we don't just stop it at your life is going to be better. This is all about you. Yes, people who don't fit church, find your unique spiritual journey. But there's a so that at the end, so that our lives and our world will be changed. That love will seep out of every bit of us into everything that we do. It will change everything. And that change usually starts with us being willing to do the change that we need to do in here so we can be that force in this world. I think our spiritual ancestors wanted to do not let us forget this. Love will be the direction that we go. Love will be where we focus our beliefs. Love for the queer community, love for the people who are disenfranchised in our world, people who are sick, people who are rich but sick in life, people who are sick and don't know they're sick, people who are sick and demand that we take care of them and that just makes us more angry, right? Love them all. If we're willing to take the power that belief has, the power that belief has in each of our lives, and focus it towards love, it will do nothing less than change this world for the better. So I want to call each of us today to this. To work as hard as we can at our beliefs. Let them color every bit of our lives, including all the crap inside that I don't want to deal with and probably you don't want to deal with. So that this world is changed with love. The Jews have a word for this. It's called shalom. It's where the world is as it should be. The world is at peace with itself. We call it love, but actually shalom is translated peace. something that the man formerly called Cat Stevens had a lot to say about. So today I wanted you to remember these stories. I want you to remember Cat Stevens. Belief was powerful enough to change everything in his life. I want you to remember the Westboro Baptist people whose belief caused them to go travel 18 hours to protest at a funeral. Remember, belief is powerful. But where you point that power is important. I want you to remember the angel wing people who spent 2 days building angel wings to protect the family from that hate. I want you to remember the story of the sheep and the goats. Focus the power of belief on love. Have a great week, everyone.